Halloween, one of my favorite times of year. I love the fall anyway. Fall is one of my favorites. And Halloween, October, I love it. I love Halloween candy. Even now, I look when they start displaying Halloween candy, see the different stuff they have. And chocolate, I'd eat on a flip-flop if it had it. It's just one of my weaknesses. I also love scary movies. Scary movies, and this is something Shane and I don't know how many we've watched through the years. I've lost track of it. And I don't know, I seem to have some swelling after the candy, but I think after Halloween, but I think that's something they're putting in the candy. And this month, as far as horror movies, I catch up on all my favorites. It doesn't matter if it's black and white, 50s, 60s, up to the day, I still love it. Lisa loves them too, she's just a little shy about saying that. And it doesn't matter, old, new, this is one of my favorites, Christopher Plummer, Dracula in the 1950s, on through the 1970s, he should have quit in the 60s, but it's still really good. And then Scream, oh man. And then this one. And when I was younger, these images really bothered me. They really, really bothered me. And it made me imagine something was lurking in the darkness. And as I gotten older, I started realizing there is some lurking in the darkness. Darkness of the world and darkness of our souls. Says something this morning. They had a Friday the 13th marathon. I watched 3 minutes of the Today Show and an hour's worth of Jason Voorhees. That says something about how the world's going these days. And there's a supernatural evil in this world. Satan and his minions are here every day. End of the movie, those actresses and actors are still, they're still around. Satan and his minions, they lay and they wait on weak moments and they're ready to pounce on us. In this world, he's worshipped, he's glamorized. Had countless movies, countless television shows, the anti-hero, the misunderstood. You should know my side of the story. And it's only growing. It's growing by the day. Just look at the news. I prayed about my message this week. And darkness just kept coming. It was something different than I've ever had before. Just this darkness. And I couldn't make sense of it. I was in Memphis this week for work. And it was Wednesday evening. I'd gotten off a work meeting. And I was ordering the pizza. And I was settling down. And the original Halloween movie came on. John Carpenter's Halloween. I've seen it a million times. That was a million and one. I started watching it. I realized why I was being told. The real evil in this world, it's not somebody in a mask. It's not Michael Myers, Freddy, Jason, Leatherface. It's Satan. In the Bible, darkness is associated with Satan. Jesus said in Matthew 8:12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 2 Peter 2:4, for God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell, the gloomy pits of darkness, where they're being held until the day of judgment. Looking at these verses and others, came pretty clear to me I need to speak about Satan. He's mentioned in many parts of the Bible. But what do we really know about him? Do you know more about him from the Bible or from Linda Blair and The Exorcist? I'll be honest with you, up to a few years ago, I thought I knew. And I knew more about him from movies and documentaries and stuff like this. But really from the Bible, what do we really know about him? Because you need to know about him. And some of you might be thinking, is Pastor Mark about to preach against Halloween? No. Halloween is a great opportunity to get out and meet people, connect with people. If we don't, we're not meant to live in a bubble. A church should never, ever be in a bubble. If I ever come in here and I ever tell you, oh, everything's just hunky-dory, woo, there ain't nothing going on, You need to get a butterfly net and get somebody else. That this is a hurting world. And we're supposed to go out in it. We're not supposed to be it, be of the world, but we're supposed to go out here. And this is where people that need us are at. They'll bring their kids out for this. They may not bring them to the church for something, but they'll bring them out there. And we need to be out there. So I'm not railing against Halloween. It's a holiday. Don't get carried away with it, but it's a holiday. I look at it as an opportunity. I went trick-or-treating. I don't think anything's wrong with me. I like scary movies. I like candy, and I don't think there's anything too bad wrong with me. Don't ask my wife too much. She'll give you a whole list, but I don't think there's a lot about there. With Halloween itself, I do think you need to know more about the enemy we face. He's very real. There are people in the church all over the world that they talk more about the good than the bad. And Satan's mentioned in passing, kind of like a footnote. But there's an old military quote from a book that's probably over 1,000 years old. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. We're all born with a sin nature. It's a back door to let the devil in. People can try and deny that, but it's the truth. I got one. You got one. You try and deny it, it's still there. And sin, how'd it come in? How'd it come into this world? It wasn't born. God didn't introduce it into this world. Satan did. Through Adam and Eve. And it's been here ever since. Satan is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Make no mistake. We're going to go through some scriptures talking about his origins, his motives, and the tools that he uses. And don't kid yourself into thinking that he is not a part of this world. His desire for each and every one of us is the destruction of our eternal souls. Each and every person here. Pastor, not. The place we're going to start is Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is one of those books that I really didn't realize how much was actually in it. There's as much prophecy in the book of Ezekiel or more than the book of Revelation. It's a very, very informative book. Here, Ezekiel, God's talking through Ezekiel, and he's talking about Satan's origins. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God, and you walked amidst the stones of fire. Satan was really originally known as Lucifer, which means bright star, morning star. He was a cherub, the plural cherubim. Cherubim are symbolic of God's power. If you think about the Ten Commandments, the Ark of the Covenant, at the top of it, there were two cherubim that sat on both sides of the chair of God. In the Garden of Eden, the angel that blocked the Garden of Eden was a cherub. They were among the highest order of angels. Satan, Lucifer at that time was in that position. He guarded the very throne of God. That's how powerful he was. His position was protecting the holiness of God. The highest of all positions that an angel had. A position that he grew to despise and ended up losing. At one point in time, he was blameless, sinless, created by God in perfection. But that wasn't the last. He ended up being filled with violence and anger. And he was lost from heaven. And what caused this beautiful, powerful being to end up like that? He was chosen to guard the very throne of God, to lose all that. He answered it himself. Isaiah 14:12, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly on the heights of Zaphon, and I will ascend to the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. We go back to our own original sin. with Adam and Eve, they desired to be more like God. They were led into it with deception, but they desired to be more like God. Satan caused them to end up mimicking his own sin. He fell and we fell through a desire to be more like God. In the book of Revelation, John had a vision of the battle that took place, where Michael and his angels waged war against the dragon. The dragon was Lucifer and his minions. They were thrown out. And he was given that vision, I think, so that he could see the entirety of this struggle. This is not a new struggle. This is one that's occurred, is gone on, is ageless. Before the creation of man, before the creation of the world. And it's going to last until the end of this world as we know it. And Lucifer changed in this struggle. His angelic appearance changed. And as I read this and I started thinking about it, he was described as a dragon. He went from being the most beautiful morning bright star that they even, his appearance was amazing, to being described as a dragon. If you think about the effects of sin, it affects us inside and out. His name was changed from Lucifer to Satan. Satan in Hebrew means the adversary, the one who resists. And he put himself and his minions in a direct battle with God and his angels. And we're in the middle. And God, that anyone that follows Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we, whether we choose it or not, we have drawn battle lines. God knew that we couldn't withstand his power. We were born with sin and never be able to make it to everlasting salvation. In this study of Satan, looking here, I think the part of God's character comes shining through. That he loves us enough to have came to this earth and suffered what he suffered for our sins. He was sinless and selfless. Satan reveals his vanity, his jealousy, his anger for his actions to deny us any way possible the salvation that we're seeking. And don't underestimate him. The greatest trick Satan's done is convince people he's not here. To convince people that he's a conglomeration of this religion, and that he's actually not here. You don't think Satan's here? Watch that news for about 30 minutes. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about people doing just flat-out evil stuff to other people and not even give it a consequence. People stealing from churches. People putting fake chemotherapy drugs out there for greed and money. He's out there to try and destroy us. But God, in his words, has given us tools. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. There have been a lot of sermons on that. All the different parts and pieces of it. I've never really thought, though, about why was Paul given those specific things to talk about. They counteract each of Satan's tools. They're very specific in how he describes them. They're very specific in what he does. Paul realized there was a true war going on. It's still going on. And it may not be against flesh and blood, but it is a supernatural battle. We're in the midst of it. The full armor of God. In verse 13, Paul talks about that. And just imagine a knight going out to battle. He's got his helmet. He's got his shield, but he ain't wearing nothing else, and he ain't got no sword. Is that armor going to do a whole lot for him? He's going to be a pincushion with arrows. Some people take bits and pieces of the things described here, and they think they're protected. You're not. All these things work in tandem with each other. They all work together. And you have to have that. And the belt of truth. In verse 14, why is that important? What's the nickname for Satan? He's father of all lies, prince of lies. True evil has and will use a lie and deception as a weapon to drive us away from God. Who's been here in their lives, at times in their lives, and have had people or just their own mind trying to tell them God wasn't there? I've had it. I've had, if it was there, you didn't care. I've had people on the History Channel telling me God ain't real. National Geographic, Carl Sagan did for years. Really persuasive. It can be. I went through a period in my life I didn't think God was real. When it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, righteousness can get a bad rap. But that's usually when there's a self in front of it. Righteousness is not beating someone over the head with a Bible and condemning them for how they just don't compare to you. Righteousness is trying to be more like Jesus, but keeping the back of your mind, we ain't never going to get there. But in our attempts, we draw closer to Jesus. That's righteousness. It's not holier than thou. It's not holy rolling. It is we just try and do better, and we try and be more like Jesus. And Satan wants us to believe that displaying righteousness in our lives is bad, that talking to people about Jesus is bad. We're supposed to be a lamp in a room, dark room. We're supposed to be all sitting on a hill to shine that light. What kills darkness? Light. And having shod your feet, the gospel of peace and the shield of faith. If you had to describe three of the most destructive things in the average life, fear, doubt, worry, they have taken the toll on my mind through the years, and I still have to be very careful of them. That fear, doubt, and worry. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we get a peace, but it becomes a target. And think about fear and doubt and worry as wolves. They're prowling the peace that's in your mind, and they tear into it. That is their purpose and where they come from. How many times have people started off with a peace in the morning, then a little worry, and then you think about that worry becomes doubt. Then that doubt just blossoms into a fear, and your peace is gone, and you're affected spiritually and physically by it. Jesus spoke several times about the faith of a believer. And in battle, we want to take away the weapons of our enemy. If Satan can steal our peace, it leaves us open to having our faith shattered. Jesus talked about how faith could move mountains, faith the size of a mustard seed. A Christian with true faith is one of the most dangerous things to the devil. Faith helped that prayer, those prayers for that young man and that baby. Prayer still works, but prayer has to have faith. And it has to have some kind of peace to it as well. And remember, the devil does not attack in one direction. He attacks in a lot of different directions. And through our sin nature, those around us and through the media, our own nature, and that old person on that cross is still there. They might be crucified, but they are still struggling to get off that cross. And that's any of us. And at a moment's notice and a moment's weakness, they will get off. And they start running things and God's not. Those around us, sometimes people do not even realize they're being used. Or they have not accepted Jesus. Or a combination of both. And they open the door to get you started back. Whether if you know you have a weakness with pills or alcohol or gambling. And just one, it ain't going to hurt. I got news for you. If you alcoholic, one drink will hurt you. One pill will hurt you. If you're a gambling addict, one time you will go back. That's any of us. People may not start off to mean evil, but they end up, they can hurt us. And we can't, I mean, we have to be on guard all the time. The media these days describes Christians as hypocritical, hate-filled. And that's not opinion. You turn to CNN. Look at the articles. Look at the movies. This makes people not want to show what they really believe and what they are. And that light's dimmed. And when that light is dimmed, you're not reaching the people we need to reach. And it's not that we're wanting to fill these seats. I don't care where you go to church. If you're going somewhere and you're getting what you need. But we need, part of our commandment as a Christian is to tell people and show people. And it's harder today. We are constantly up under an attack. The Satan, like I say, cannot be underestimated at all. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The most common meaning of salvation is to be saved by God from the consequences of our sins. Some people think that salvation, as God cleaned our slates, offering us forgiveness and giving us a second chance. It's so much more than that. We're being saved from sin, but we're being saved for God. For Him, to spend eternity with Him. And Satan doesn't want this. He does not want a relationship of any kind for us with God. Because it makes us stronger and harder to attack. When you're on your faith, when you are where you need to be at in your spiritual life, how do you handle ups and downs? Better. I do. He does not want that relationship. Separation is one of the key weapons of the enemy. He does not want us to be saved. He wants ultimate destruction. And you've heard me talk many times about the importance of God's Word. It's one of the cornerstones of what I believe as a Christian. Whether you get it through a devotional, an app, or wherever, you need to have it. I think it's important to notice that the other tools that we've talked about are defensive tools. Shields, helmets, belts. The Word of God is described as a sword, which is an offensive and defensive weapon. Satan didn't want to be a person to be familiar with the Word of God. The Bible has the answers to his attacks on us. He doesn't want people to be that familiar. It talks of faith and peace and righteousness and salvation. It talks about all the other tools and how to use them. And when you read Scripture, think about like practicing with a rifle, practicing with a sword. You're going to get better at using it. And the power from the Word of God is not from the words themselves. It has to be coupled with honest prayer to God. And it's got to occur daily. I mean, honest prayer. Doesn't have to be fancy, but it's got to be honest. It's got to be what's in your heart, what's in your soul. And it needs to be daily. And I think that's sometimes where we fail at, where we fall at, that in the Word. And it makes us weaker. That when we don't reach out to God to say, I'm struggling, that humbling of self to say, I'm struggling and I don't know how to fix this. Pride and vanity are open doors for the bad things to come into our lives. Prayer is also a way of God talking to us. After you've prayed, have you heard or just felt maybe alarm bells going off? Or urge that you need to call someone or a thing you need to do. Prayer works both ways. And God still talks through prayer. He gives us an awareness of things. All of these things coupled together will help protect us. Satan's out there. First, Peter, I think, described him as a beast prowling through the night, waiting to devour and kill. Can't see, but he's there. Look at the level of violence and depravity in this world. You have people that are enslaved all around the world. 6,000 Nigerian Christians were executed very recently. The government there is saying it was a tribal land dispute. All 6,000 happened to be Christians, mainly women, children, old men. This is occurring all over the world. There's an all-out war on God's people. We're seeing it and beginning to see it here more than we ever have. The enemy's ultimate goal is the destruction of God's people. Sometimes that is sugar-coated, but that is his ultimate goal, to destroy us all. Our relationship with God, his origins, he was at the right hand of God, the second most powerful being in existence, and was made perfect. But sin crept into his heart. I think it's a warning. It can creep into anybody's heart. If you had, you think about an angel created by the hand of God, that it is capable. That's capable of having sin. We certainly are. I think it's a warning. And he will use disguises, lies, and other weapons to do this. False teachers, prophets, say he doesn't exist. Or they tell you that, I saw one celebrity that said, oh, there's plenty of paths to God. He's just one. Yeah, there's just one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't care what the Oprah Book of the Month Club says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. False prophets that are reaching millions of people, that when they stand before God, and we all will stand before God one day, and he's going to tell them, I don't know you. As we go to prayer and we close this service, if you're under attack, look at what you're wearing. Are you wearing the full armor of God? Do you value the truth? Have you turned your life over to Jesus? Where are you with prayer and the Word of God? If you don't like the answer, pray to help God, for God to help you in this battle. Because it's an everyday battle. It is. And don't think it's not your fight. You didn't pick it, but because you exist, you are in it. And God's given us the means to know our enemy and gives us the tools to defend ourselves against the enemy. I'm going to get everybody to stand, please. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and then in song, and the altars will be open. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, Father, with a message that I haven't delivered one like this before, and I had some hesitation with it. Father, it's uncomfortable to talk about the things that lurk in the darkness. It's very uncomfortable to talk about such a powerful being around and all that they are doing in this world. But Father, that's why you're with us. That is why your hand on us, you're comforting. You are our shepherd. And you do lead us into safe places. Father, as we go out into this world, let us be mindful that we don't go out there alone, that you are with us. And Father, your truth, your peace, your righteousness, your salvation, faith, prayer, and the sword of the word go out there with us and help us to put them on. Father, the battle we fight is for more than just ourselves. We allow ourselves to be used. We can save those around us, those that are struggling with sin, those that are struggling with drugs, those that are struggling with alcohol, those that are struggling from the spiritual darkness. Father, we can save them if we let ourselves be used by you. Father, as we go out into this world, let us take these things outside of this church door, outside of these walls, and go out into the world with them. Father, the Holy Spirit just needs a tiny opening to get in. And once in, he will do the rest. But let us help provide that opening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altars are open.